This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure to rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Lalone. This episode is sponsored by BAM's Safety Not Guaranteed, the new indie rock musical featuring songs by Guster's Ryan Miller and book by Nick Blamire, running September 17th through October 20th. You can find out more at bam.org/time travel. I'm Megan Offerman, and I'm here with host Benham Jones at WFUV. This was such a beautiful set, and this is a new band for me. I was not familiar with them before they came into the station today. Can you just tell me a little bit about where this band gets their influence and their flavor from?
Yeah, same. It was a new band for me, too. I did a little research, and I read about them, and I'm not going to lie. When they showed up, they're really good-looking guys, and they're dressed in really nice clothes. I was almost like, oh, this isn't going to be legit. What is this? They're too hot. But they were the real deal, and a lot of it comes from, of course, being in Los Angeles, and so just the cultural infusion of all the different, you know, of course, Mexico and the different cultures that all congregate in L.A., but it sounded like a couple of the guys, actually all the guys, I think, were raised by musicians. And the drummer, Nick, he studied under like a guru or a mentor doing Afro-Cuban stuff. And even when I asked them about what their favorite like contemporary music was, they were kind of struggling to come up with some answers because they're really music nerdy and based in the past. And that came through in their performances, which were so genuine and so just authentic. The guitar playing, you know, it exists somewhere where like, you know, rockabilly and Gene Vincent and that sort of stuff. But then it like, it has this whole lift of sort of like a bolero and Mexican cowboy stuff. It was just a really fascinating session, and they slayed every song without missing a beat. And they were not fussy at all.
Yeah.
Really great guys.
Yeah. And obviously for listeners, you're listening to the audio of this, so you're not necessarily getting that video element. But I would just recommend to everybody to make sure that you head to YouTube and look up the WFUV session with Lalone, because they were also just so present and engaged while they were playing. So make sure you check out those videos.
And seeing the conga behind the drum kit in place of the snare is quite a compelling visual. When they were talking about bringing the conga in, I thought it was just going to be kind of used as dressing, but it straight up fully replaced the crack of the snare drum, and it worked. So very cool stuff.
Amazing. Okay, so without further ado, let's dive in. What is the first song that they're going to play for us?
Yes, it is the Danza de Lalome, which is, I think in a way, it's the first single from the record, and it's sort of like the statement of purpose for the band. This is their conjuring, you know, this is the tune to sort of raise the dead.
Thank you.
Benham Jones. That's La Lome live in Studio A. And that was the tune Danza de La Lome. Very happy to be joined by Zach, Jake, and Nick of La Lome. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you've joined the Verve family. If you could tell me a little bit about that and how it is approaching that first full-length album being on a label and stuff.
Well, we did the record with our friend Elliot Bergman, and he was the one who brought us over to Verve along with our management, and it's been a really good place for us to be. It's such an honor to be a part of such a prestigious label. You know, the artists that are on there, on their catalog, are incredible, and the people who are currently on there are you know, a thrill to be in the company of.
And I guess we can get into the history of your band a little bit, but I know that a lot of your alchemy and how the band became what it is today was through playing live and woodshedding, doing gigs at the Roosevelt Hotel. Approaching the studio, is that like a kind of a code switch for y'all? Because you got so many different opportunities for overdubs and different instrumentation rather than being just, you know, the three of you in a room. Just wondering how you adjusted to that and how that translates onto the record.
I would say it's not really that different, just because our method of recording is usually to just play the three of us in a room together, kind of like we would live. The way we recorded this record, we recorded a bunch of songs. Most of the record was recorded in one day. I think it was about 12, 13 songs that we recorded. And then later on, we kind of listened to them and decided to add overdubs to it.
Yeah, that was a lot owed to Elliot slowing us down a little bit, inviting us to consider other cool instruments to another, you know, how to make more of a world out of the recording rather than just the performance.
Did you guys do it to tape?
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, I guess we did most of it. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, now that you've committed these tunes to record, does it change how you approach improvisation in the live setting? Because now, you know, you're out of the Roosevelt Hotel, you're playing huge venues, you're almost sort of approaching, you know, this pop level. You're here on the radio with me. Do you feel that those tunes, now that they've been committed to tape, are a little bit more precious in the way they are? Or are you still kind of mixing it up and changing it every night?
I mean, I think there's a tendency, just because we've heard those recordings so much, you know, in the process of mixing and doing all that stuff, to kind of fall back on some of the ideas that we had on the recording. And but you know, every night I try to always play differently. I think we all kind of do that. If I notice I'm doing the same thing two nights in a row, I make note of it and I try to change it, you know, next time. We always keep it pretty fresh.
Yeah, we all grew up doing a lot of improvisation, so it's kind of just a natural thing for us to do when we're playing live. It keeps it interesting, you know. It always keeps it interesting and fresh.
Because Zach, like he said, is always interested in playing it differently, it keeps us on our toes, because he won't tell us that it's going to have an extra 8 bars of something. He just gives us a nod and we have to follow. And it makes for, it's what we've done since we were back at the Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
That's always how we wrote music together.
And are you guys formally trained in music? So do you have like a chamber language between the three of you that is something more formal to like music school? Or did you just kind of learn on the fly with each other?
My formal learning is from playing on the street.
There we go.
And I know like the names of chords, and me and Jake have been playing together for a long time, so we're really good at communicating
since we were 16 or so.
Oh,
but I'm still not always great with chords and numbers and all that stuff.
I get nerdy with some numbers. I'm pretty fluent in all that stuff.
Cool.
The majority, Jake and I met at school, but the majority of my where I learned drums and percussion was from my mentor, and he really pushed improvisation, and he played Afro-Cuban percussion, so that's where I learned all that. But yeah, a lot of our playing and how I play with the band is based on his teachings more than what I learned at school, you know?
Yeah, I will say the way I play is 100% a reflection of Zach, and I've been playing in almost every band I've been in since I was 16, and there's certain ways he likes the bass to be played, and that's how I play the bass.
Because for a lot of people, hearing La Lome on the radio today is going to be their first time hearing you. So you said you guys have been playing together since you were 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music were y'all playing at that time? And then tell me a little bit about the growth from there up to La Lome to meeting Zach, if you can. Give me the compact, the elevator pitch.
Or meeting Nick, rather.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Meeting Nick.
They're all the short names from the 90s, you know?
The first band that me and Jake played in together was kind of like a rockabilly sort of band.
Cowpunky.
Jake was really into the Gun Club, if you've heard of them. Mm-hmm. That great kind of cowpunk band from Los Angeles from the 80s. And I don't know. How would you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, so it's the same kind of world as the Cramps, or, you know, like LA has always been, had a kind of country and western backdrop to it.
Surfing and psychobilly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's the Cramps were out there for a while. The Blasters are from LA. Los Lobos from East LA. And so we were drawing from all of that. And Zach grew up playing a lot of bluegrass and traditional American music with his dad.
Yeah, my dad is a musician as well and plays like banjo, mandolin, and that stuff. So that was a lot of the first music I played. But yeah, me and Jake, when we started playing together, it was a lot of rockabilly and that kind of thing, playing for dancers at bars and stuff like that.
And then Nick and I met in college, and we didn't really start working together till you gave me a call about the Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we would all do gigs all around town, so people would kind of call each other. And, you know, they asked for us to do jazz there, and I had played jazz in college. I didn't really want to do that anymore. I grew up playing Afro-Cuban percussion. I kind of just wanted to focus more on that kind of thing. So when the guys came in, you know, they kind of brought in their more like soul, old school soul ballads and boleros. And then we started to incorporate cumbia slowly.
Well, you showed
slowly.
Up one day with just the congas.
I kind
of
forced
your kit.
It.
Yeah,
I forced it upon them.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, Zach group, you know, played a lot of boleros and stuff like that as well.
That was some of the first music that we kind of realized we had in common when we had that gig at the hotel. We sort of realized we all kind of had an interest in a lot of early, like, 30s and 40s Latin music and stuff. I think some of it, I had been turned on to an Argentinian singer named Carlos Gardel from my grandfather. Who grew up in Buenos Aires, and that he was, Carlos Gardel was kind of a legend down there, and I learned a lot of those tunes and played those songs instrumentally. I know Nick kind of has a background in like boleros and classic.
Yeah, my grandma would like play like Pedro Infante and Cien Años and things like that, you know, very popular in Mexico in that time as well. So
that was a lot of the first music we played together, was a more kind of laid back ballad, kind of, you know, these classic Latin songs from 30s and 40s and that kind of thing. And then kind of quickly, as we noticed, people started showing up to the gigs and there was a little more energy there and people wanted to dance and stuff. We started playing more upbeat stuff and started learning like cumbia and chicha tunes to play for everybody. And that music always gets people dancing like better than anything else. Yeah.
I mean, it's a gentle evolution to hear from going from like the Cramps of LA to, you know, the diaspora of just the rest of the culture that surrounds the whole state, really. With that in mind, I know we've been talking for a while. Would love to hear another tune if you guys are ready.
Yeah. Let's play one called San Fernando Rose.
All right. New music from La Lome on FUV live in Studio A. This is San Fernando Rose. right, that is La Lome live on WFUV here in Studio A with the tune San Fernando Rose, which you can find on their record. It came out just about a month ago.
The record is called the Los Angeles League of Musicians.
So it is self-titled, spelled out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fascinated by, I'm looking at the array of guitars here. You just got two, but they're guitars I have never seen before. Can you tell me a little bit about the gear?
Yeah, the one I played on that last song is called a K Style Leader. I think it's from 1960. Yeah, I've always liked a lot of the, I guess they're what you call like some of the early mass-produced American guitars. They used to sell them at like department stores and stuff.
I know the Silvertone is what I'm, you know, that's
kind of similar.
A lot of
yeah.
The punks in New York have that here.
Yeah, I really like the sound of some of those guitars, and they're also still really cheap. And I mean, they're getting to be more expensive, but at the time when I got those, they were still a lot cheaper than like a Fender or Gibson or something.
And like as an instrumental band, how important is the tone and the sound of the gear? It's that difference between being a bar band or the hotel band. You should be able to like set up and play wherever, but being so based in the tone of the guitar and of the drum and everything together.
I think we all love vintage gear. That's kind of what we recorded everything on, but we'd kind of try to give it a modern, fresh feel or sound. I don't know. That's
and
the best
if
way
there's
to
a piece
it.
Of modern gear that sounds good, we're not afraid of it. We're not Luddites. But the tones we love, we just went to the instrument that did that.
Is everything? Now the whole record is instrumental, but do you guys ever play with vocalists, or is that something that you experiment with out on the road?
Yeah, we do both in the studio. We've made some recordings. Actually, recently we made a recording with a great singer named Gabby Moreno. She took an instrumental of ours and put words to it. And it came out really nice. And I think that's the first official thing we've released that way.
That song's called Alma Florecida.
Yeah, that's right. Alma Florecida. And we hope to do a lot more of that kind of thing in the future. You know, we love working with singers. And when we're on the road, if any friends of ours are around or anything, we usually have them come up and sing a song, you know.
Yeah, we did a run where Monica Martin joined us for a tour where we were doing Ooh Baby Baby, and Aaron Fraser joined us once in L.A. We love working with vocalists.
The L.A. music community, you have such a deep well to draw from there, but any dream collaborations for any of y'all as you kind of are touring more and moving on to the next tier, your side to Verve, anyone that you guys would love to work with?
We were actually talking to them last night about a whole list of different people that we want to work with. I don't know if you guys want to tell them, but should we keep it secret?
Just the taste would be cool.
There's a group called Grupo Cual from Mexico that's like a classic cumbia band that would be really cool to work with.
And I'm going to keep shouting out Rosalia. I would love to work with her.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That is the dream, yeah, for sure. So you've been touring a lot. I know that's not new to y'all, but as the tours gets bigger and bigger, and the sound has changed and evolved over time, what cities or what places have you felt really warmly received in? I mean, I have my own ideas about where this will work, but I'm just curious from y'all.
Chicago has always been incredible. We did two shows in the past year there, and they blew our minds.
Mm-hmm. New York's been really kind to us so far, actually. It's just been a real joy to be mm-hmm. received so well in the city.
El Paso was really cool. Actually, just Texas in general has been great.
And actually, Omaha, Nebraska.
It's true.
We sold it out on a Monday night. We were shocked.
Right there in the middle.
Yeah.
Did you guys get down to New Orleans? Have you played down there?
Not yet. We're looking forward to it.
I'm really excited for you to get down there. The cumbia down there is quite incredible. There's a record store called Domino that specializes in the psychedelic Peruvian stuff and the cumbia stuff. They will love what y'all are doing.
That's awesome.
You're here in New York right now. Have y'all spent a lot of time here? Any things you guys are trying to do while you're here besides playing some shows?
Both of my brothers live here, so I come pretty often.
We have a pretty tight schedule this time around. Mm-hmm. We're playing a lot, so.
We all love coffee.
Yeah.
We'll drink a lot of coffee. Probably go to the music stores in general.
Yeah, who is, so in terms of the tour, who's like the person who's always trying to go to the comic book shop, who's always trying to go to the record store, who's trying to go to the bakery and stuff?
We all love the record store.
Yeah.
I have a gift for finding good food on the
road.
I was
just about to say, it is a real thing.
In coffee.
And
great coffee.
We can be in the tiniest town in the obscurest state, and he'll find a like quality coffee roaster, and it's like, how did you do that?
Yeah, that's the secret on the road. Look for the coffee roaster.
Are you guys traveling in a Sprinter?
We are.
This tour we're on, we've been flying around a lot because we're kind of jumping all over the country, so we're not getting to really just go in a van and drive around, you know, like we usually do.
Who drives?
These days, we have upgraded to a tour manager.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We have the inimitable Hansa Ostiedal, and he is the greatest.
Cool. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the record and how the experience has been since that's come out and everything.
We've been very happy with how things have been moving along. It's really a thrill to have people respond so well to our music. You know, we took a lot of time writing and recording and putting it all together, and to have people turn around and appreciate it is endlessly rewarding.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the past year or so, people have seen a lot of our videos and stuff, and those are mostly of a lot of covers and a lot of older songs. But you know, when we've been touring around the country, we always are playing these original songs, and those, we always feel like we play those the best and they resonate with people the best. So it's really been just a great opportunity to be able to share all these new original songs with everybody.
It's really thrilling watching people respond to songs that we've known and are dear to us, but now they take them home with them, and then they come to the show. All of a sudden, they're excited to hear a song that we're excited, but before they didn't know to be excited or something like that.
That is the best thing, when someone comes not knowing a song and then they leave loving the band. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Now that the songs are committed to record, the record is out, do you guys, and I know you're so focused on touring and you're promoting this, but do you have the itch to start writing again? Is there anything that's been inspiring you on the road or just in this experience of this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been writing. We're constantly writing, so you know we're already working on a bunch of new songs. And I mean,
Zach never stops writing. You know, we were talking about the way that we'll improvise on stage, and one of those will be an idea will come to Zach on stage, and he'll call chords, and we just will let him riff. You know,
or soundcheck. We also just make new songs up at soundcheck and practice them then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So I know the music kind of gets branded a little bit as not old-timey, I'm saying, but it harkens back to the past very much. I'm curious about what contemporary music that you guys like that might be out of that sort of retro zone.
Hmm. Where to start? Mm-hmm. I mean, got a rep Verve, really enjoying Liana Flores and Aruj off Tob's records.
Mm-hmm.
<think what else>. Zach and I are very authentically
vintage. It's all pretty esoteric and vintage. Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate it. I'm learning stuff this interview, but I'm always curious where people, the music that they enjoy, where it veers out of the zone that they,
you know, the community we're from in Los Angeles has a lot of great musicians that are contemporary for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this group called, well, they go by like the Blasting Company or the California Feet Warmers. They have all these different groups. It's almost like a collective of musicians in LA.
And another league, if you will.
Yeah, they're kind of, and a lot of them have played with the Los Angeles League of Musicians at some point. So they're always playing in great bands around LA.
There's a current iteration of three of the guys called Carlos y Charlos, and they are excellent.
Also, another band that's not from L.A. but from Southern California called Los Tranquilos. They're a really great band. They're going to be opening up for us in a few shows this year. And another group called Radio Malia that's really great from El Paso.
Yeah, they'll be with us in a couple, you know, right around now in Texas.
Cool. All good data. Let me check them all out.
Yeah.
Just a couple of last questions, and then maybe we can hear one more song, then you'll be on your way. Does that sound cool?
Be happy to.
Just because it's the question everyone wonders, the best tacos in L.A.?
We kind of have to keep it secret, don't we, though?
No, don't keep it secret. Then fine, do a diversion or something. Give me second best.
So we'll enter the best coffee in L.A.
Okay.
And it's over in Montebello on Whittier Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, Cuarto Central, it's called. No, I'm sorry. So Cuarto Central is this really cool venue run by the people who have this coffee shop called Cafe Santo.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite place to play in Los Angeles?
Cuarto Central.
Cuarto Central.
Yeah.
To the bone. Thank you guys so much. You have been a league of extraordinary gentlemen.
Thanks, man. And we're going to play one more song, right?
Yeah. What do we got?
It's called 72 Monte Carlo.
All right. Right now on the radio, playing us out, it's La Lome on WFUV Live in Studio A. This is 72 Monte Carlo. That was La Lome performing in In Conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Verve Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara and Aaron Merriman. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Catherine Sherman and Ina Volovich. Megan Oftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Ben Jones.